hate every false way. Let's go to the Lord together in prayer tonight.
Father, thank you again for this opportunity tonight to gather together here. Lord, as fall season is coming upon us, it's starting to get dark earlier in the evening. Father, you provided for us such a wonderful place to meet and all the conveniences and comforts we could possibly ask for. And we are thankful for those things. God, we won't take them for granted. Father, tonight as we meet in this place of comfort, we're mindful of so many in this world that don't have these things and these conditions. Father, we pray tonight you would help us to take advantage of it by focusing tonight on your word. We have no persecution, no trouble to distract us. So, Father, help us tonight to be focused on what you have for us in the Word of God. Father, I believe something very special tonight, very exciting, if we can really grasp and get a hold of it. So I pray you would use this truth tonight to speak to our hearts and challenge us. Father, help us to know David's excitement. Father, what he's excited about, and we might pattern ourselves after David. Father, bless your word each and every heart tonight. Feed us. Give us something from the Word of God that will strengthen us and challenge us and be enough for us from this service until our Sunday time to get together again. Bless your word, we ask. In Jesus Christ's name.
Amen. Here in this 13th section of Psalm 119, again, we see that every verse makes some reference to the Word of God. In verse number 97, oh, how I love thy law. In verse 98, thou through thy commandments. Verse 99, at the middle of it, for thy testimonies are my meditation. Verse number 100, I keep thy precepts. Verse 101, that I may keep thy word at the end of the verse. Verse 102, I've not departed from thy judgments. Verse 103, how sweet are thy words. Verse 104, through thy precepts. So again, we have the emphasis in this section as well as all the Word of God, or all of this chapter, the emphasis is on the Bible, or the emphasis is on the Word of God. What I want to point out tonight is verse number 97. And just those first words. Notice he says, oh, how I love thy law. Reading those words, we cannot feel the heart of David. I believe he's very vibrant when he says that. I believe he is excited when he said that. I believe it's heartfelt. And here's why I say that. Notice it says, oh, how I love thy law. Then notice it's not a period at the end of that sentence. It's definitely not a question mark. It's not a colon or a semicolon as we see dividing so many verses in the book of Psalms. But he says, oh, how I love thy law, and it's an exclamation point. An exclamation point shows us by grammar, it expresses wonder or amazement. It shows excitement. And here we find in this verse David saying, oh, how I love thy law. David is trying to express to us something very special. There are 2,461 verses in Psalms. 2,461 verses in Psalms. 26 times in those 26 times in all that we find an exclamation point. Alright, that's less than 1% of the verses in Psalms that David accentuates or David emphasizes with an exclamation point. Now the first thing I wonder is, what do you and I exclamate? What in our life gets us excited that if we were reading or writing something that we would put, I use exclamation points a lot in my writing. When I'm writing emails or writing messages or this, I have a tendency, I know grammatically, to use exclamation points to express excitement or joy or whatever it is over what I'm writing about. And I wonder, what is it tonight that you causes rejoicing in your heart? What is it that causes happiness in your heart? A lot of times it's secular things. Now, I don't mean they're sinful things, but a lot of times it's just things that happen in life or things we're looking forward to, things that cause excitement. But what I want you to notice tonight as we look at Psalm, again, we're not going to be in Psalm 119 in these verses at all. We're going to deviate on purpose, not chasing a rabbit's trail, but deviating on purpose, because as I got into this and worked on it, I couldn't get past that exclamation point. All right, I couldn't get past that exclamation point because I saw that David Now, I said there's 26 times in Psalms. Please don't quote me perfectly on that. There was no internet to look up to find out how that is. There's no concordance that lists every time an exclamation. So to get that, I had to go back to Psalm chapter 1 and go through to Psalm 150 and read through every chapter and look for the exclamation points. So the chances that I missed one are probably pretty good right there. But even if I missed one or two, you understand that 26 of them in 2,461 verses is less than 1%. We're talking about a very small minority of times that David used an exclamation point. I believe that tells us that when we're reading Psalms and David uses one, we ought to pay attention to what he's talking about. If David is expressing himself with that grammatical mark by showing something he's enthusiastic about or excited about or something he meditates on that just moves him and meditates his heart, we ought to pay attention to those things that got a hold of the heart of David. And so tonight, I want to give you some exclamation points in the book of Psalms. We're not going to look at all 26. And though there's 26 of them, some of the verses have two in the same verse that we'll see tonight. And so it's even less verses out of that number that show them. But let's look at what David got so motivated and excited about that he would put an exclamation point, not a period. I can't help but get on this either. Your King James Bible has that exclamation point, I said 26 times. The new Charismatic contemporary Bibles, they get more excited than David did. And when you get to Psalm 147, Psalm 146, where it says, "Praise the Lord, praise the Lord," they change it to exclamation points every time. So theirs have been peppered with exclamation points. So this sermon wouldn't even be preachable out of a new Bible. But in our Bible, there are 26 occasions that David put it there. And can I emphasize to you, that means something special. And that means that the churches that are using the New Living Translation, and I went online and got this information, so I know what I'm talking about when I say it. The churches that are using those Bible versions are just creating a mess. Even their punctuation is messed up. Much less the verses they drop out and the phrases they leave out and the words that they change. The punctuation, you can't even mess with the punctuation without losing something. And so let's look in our Bible at some of the times that David uses this exclamation point and see what it is he gets excited about. David was not a pumped up excited. He didn't have to get together with a bunch of folks and work up a spirit of excitement. There were some things David got all motivated about just by himself. Notice we see it in Psalm 119 verse 97. "Oh, how I love thy law." One of the things that David got motivated and got excited about was the Word of God. He said, "Oh, how I love thy law." Look down at verse number 103. Here's, in this chapter, in these verses, three times that exclamation mark appears. Once in verse 97 and two times in verse 103. And notice what he says in that verse. "How sweet are thy words unto my taste!" Exclamation point. "Yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth," exclamation point. David, out of those 26 times, three of them are right here in front of our eyes right now. And all these exclamation points are showing David's excitement and his desire to communicate how valuable and how great he thinks the Word of God is. So to David, when he showed expression, it was about the Word of God. Notice in this same chapter, Psalm 119, he used it one other time. The three times in the verses we're looking at now, and one other time in Psalm 119 and verse 5, David used that same exclamation point. And notice what he's talking about in verse number 5, as if it's going to be a surprise to you. We're in Psalm 119. But in verse 5, David said this, "Oh, that my ways were directed to keep thy statutes." Keep thy statutes. David got excited. 1% of the verses in this, you know, you read through Psalms. And I don't know about you, there's a lot of verses when I'm reading through Psalms that I read and think that one ought to have an exclamation point. I read through some of these things that David says and I think that one ought to have an exclamation point. David felt he was very sparse in putting that exclamation point and some things that he put it on, he wanted to emphasize the value and the richness of it. And one of those things is the Word of God. We cannot undervalue it. We cannot disdain it. We cannot, in the world we live in the Christian world we live in today, Word of God's been so watered down by the number of translations that are out there, one coming out on top of the other all the time, and people getting confused. And you go into a church and different people stand up to read, and everybody's got a different Bible and a different translation, and it's chaos. And the Bible says, let all things be done decently and in order. And so we have a Bible that has exactly what we need. And David uses those exclamation points to emphasize how much he loved the Word of God. Next week, when we actually go through these 8 verses, we'll talk about that love for the Word of God. What it means to love the Bible. How to show if we love the Bible. And how to get in love with the Bible if we don't already have it. But David, in thinking about these things, said, oh, how I love thy law, it is my meditation all the day. Go back, if you would, to Psalm chapter 8. Again, as I said, we're not going to look at all 26 times. But I just want you to get you, I want to get an idea. And again, I challenge you, when you're going through Psalms, read through Psalms, look for the exclamation points. You might find more than 26, because like I said, I found 25 and then was studying and researching, and another one popped up that I'd missed the first time. So it's very possible that I did. But look, if you would, at Psalm chapter 8. What motivated and excited David so much that he would use that rare exclamation point when he wrote? One thing is the Word of God. The second thing in Psalm chapter 8 and verse 1. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. Exclamation point. Here again is one of those occasions where David just couldn't express himself without putting that punctuation at the end to set it apart from everything else that he'd been writing about. Again, David wrote about the trials from his enemies. David wrote about God's deliverance. David wrote about so many things. But he was very particular in what he put that exclamation point on. And one of those things was, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. The name of God. We talked about it. He said, how I love thy law. Now he says, how excellent is thy name. God's word and God's name meant something very special to David. I don't know what would happen if David was at Circle K and somebody in the room used God's word to spice up a sentence or to cuss. I think David probably said, take his head off. And we don't live in that day or those times, but David had a love for God's name. And he said, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. Look in this same chapter at verse number 9, the last verse of this chapter. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. 2 times in the same chapter. Now again, with David using it so reservedly, when we see 2 times in the same chapter, we've got to be convinced that David's heart is really after this thing. And his heart is after the name of God. How excellent is thy name in all the earth. David had a heart for the Word of God. David had a heart for the name of God himself. How excellent is thy name. Notice what else he said about God as we think about his name. Psalm 71. Psalm chapter 71. And verse number 19. Psalm 71 and verse 19. David said this, thy righteousness also, O God, is very high. Who has done great things, O God? Who is like unto thee? When David thought about his God, the name of his God, the character of his God, it caused him to react in such a way that he'd put that little exclamation point at the end of it. Now, I don't think there's anywhere in the Bible where they put double exclamation points. I do that sometimes when I'm writing to go overboard, I guess. And that doesn't occur in the Bible, but when David uses that exclamation point, it's to emphasize how sincere he believes what he's talking about. And again, that's not to say that everything else he writes he's not sincere about, but this emphasizes that. It shows his devotion to it. And he said in Psalm chapter 71 and verse number 19, thy righteousness also, O God, is very high. Who has done great things, O God? Who is like unto thee? You know, when David said, his word is my meditation, these verses ought to be verses that we meditate on. The phrases like that, O God, who is like unto thee? That's a verse to chew on all day long. David said his word was sweet to his taste like honey. And again, we'll talk about that next week. But that's something you can meditate on, something you can chew on. The Lord said in Matthew chapter 4 that every word of God is necessary, more necessary than our daily bread. And so we need the word of God to feast on every day. And David said when he tasted of the word of God that was honey to his taste. And he said, "O God, who is like unto thee?" He was excited about God's word. He was excited about God's name and his person. He said, "How excellent is thy name." Notice what else he says about this excellence. Look at Psalm 36. Psalm chapter 36. In Psalm chapter 36, we find another one of these exclamation points. Down in verse number 7. Psalm 36 and verse number 7, David says, "How excellent," there's that word he used in Psalm 8, "how excellent is thy name, how excellent is thy loving kindness, O God." When David meditated on the character of God, the name of God, the person of God, His loving kindness, His name, he couldn't help but just rise above the normal. He couldn't help but go beyond just the normal expression. And he had to put that evidence of his sincerity. "How excellent is thy loving kindness, O God." There are some times that the things of God, we understand biblical truth. We understand God's mercy. We understand God's grace. We understand God's loving kindness. But then there are times in our life where God just reveals it or shows it in such a way that we almost come out of our skin. You know, something in our day, something in our life where it's not just the norm, it's not just the everyday thing, but God does something. And maybe it's not stupendous, it's not miraculous, but God just comes through at a time where we really need Him. That's what David is emphasizing by this exclamation point. That when God has done something for him, it just moves his heart and warms his heart and brings out that great expression of his devotion to him. "How excellent is thy loving kindness, O God." Notice in Psalm 31, just back a couple of pages. Psalm 31 and verse number 19. Again, we go through these references right now and you think, boy, there's a bunch of these exclamation points. This is 1% of all of Psalms. These are 26 verses or 24 verses out of almost 2,500 of them. So these are very, very sparse in here. But notice in Psalm 31 and verse 19. "Oh, how great is thy goodness, which thou hast laid up for them that fear thee, which thou hast wrought for them that trust in thee before the sons of men." When David contemplated how good God was, simply because man trusts in him, how good God was to those that were undeserving, David couldn't help but put that exclamation point and just say, "Our God is a good God. His loving kindness is amazing. His goodness to mankind is wonderful." David was just filled with wonder and amazement when he considered these things about God. How excellent and good his name was, and who was like unto God. When he thought about God's word, when he thought about God's name or his character. What about God's house? Look at Psalm 84. Look at Psalm number 84. Psalm number 84 and verse number 1. David said this, "How amiable are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts." Now the word amiable means precious, valuable, something that you love. And David is saying in this number verse, in verse number 1, when he talks about God's tabernacle, what does he mean by the tabernacle? Well, he says in verse 2, "My soul longeth, yea, even fainteth for the courts of the Lord." And that's not talking about something afar off in heaven. He says in verse 3, "Yea, the sparrow hath found a house, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young. Blessed are they that dwell in thy house." He's talking about that physical gathering place down here on earth. The sparrows have a place in the rafters there, and the swallows are there, and the saints are there. In verse number 4, "Blessed are they that dwell in thy house. They will be still praising thee." And so he's talking about the house of God here on earth, and he says about it in verse number 1, how amiable are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts. When David thought about the word of God, it got him excited. When David thought about the name of God, the character of God, it got him excited. When David thought about the house of God, it got him excited. I remember years ago, some parents, we up at Maslin, we had a boy that was probably 8, 9 years old that got up to preach one Sunday night. And he got up there and he was telling everybody that when his parents wake him up on Sunday morning and he's tired and he's exhausted and doesn't want to get up because he's had a hard night playing on Saturday, and his parents come in and roll him over and say, "All right, time to get up for bed." He said he's learned to say, "Wonderful, I get to go to church this morning." Not, "Oh no, do I have to? Can I sleep a little longer? Can I stay in bed?" But, "Oh, I get to go to church this morning." And that's the privilege we have. We get to go to the house of God. We get to go to church on Wednesday evening. We get to go to church on Sunday morning. We get to go to church on Sunday evening. And that's the attitude that David had about going there. It wasn't a responsibility. It wasn't even a restriction in his life. It was something he desired to do. And he said, how loving, how great, how wonderful, how amiable are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts. These are the things that meant something to David. And when he expressed himself and used that exclamation point, he talked about the word of God. He talked about the name, the character of God. He talked about the house of God. That's what got David excited. Notice another thing that David uses that exclamation point. Notice Psalm 144. Psalm 144. Folks, if you're like me, you get excited about worthless things. The Detroit Tigers have won 12 in a row. Michigan beat Notre Dame. Well, that's not worthless. The things that get us excited, and that doesn't mean they're wrong, but we need to make sure that the things of God get us as excited as the things of the world do. I remember some preachers coming years ago. Brother Vespi and Brother Ron Ralph were here preaching a revival in December, something like that. And they came out to my house afterward, and I was watching a hockey game. And these two southern boys had no idea what was going on. And they're watching the hockey game with me, and they're about a step behind everything that's going on. And one of the Detroit players scored a goal. And I jumped up off of my seat, and I jumped up and said, "Score, goal." And they looked at me and said, "How come you don't get as excited at church about those things as you did?" And they didn't say it mean. They didn't say it nasty. They said, "You know, I hope you get as excited." So Ron Ralph preached the next night, and I jumped up and said, "Score," right in the middle of one of his sermons. I want him to know I got as excited about the things of God as I did about that. And that's a frivolous thing to understand. We should be as excited about the things of God as we get about the things of the world. But something about our carnal nature, we get built up about those things and not about the right things. David is expressing himself. He's talking when it came about the word of God, the name of God, the house of God. These are the things that got him excited. And he used an exclamation point to show it to us. Notice something else that not necessarily got him excited, but left him in amazement and wonder. Psalm 144, verse number 3. This verse has that exclamation point 2 times in the same verse. Verse number 3 says, "Lord, what is man that thou takest knowledge of him? Or the son of man that thou makest account of him?" David was amazed not only at the word of God and the name of God and the house of God and showed his wonder and amazement by it, but when David considered those things, you know what amazed him? That a God that good and a God that wonderful and a God that powerful and a God that mighty would care about us. What are any one of us in any given day? We're one of 6.7, is that what it is, I think? 6.7 billion people on the face of the earth right now. And what are we that makes us deserving of God's love, God's attention, God's grace, God's mercy? And yet David understood that all these things were there for him, for his taking, for his keeping, that God cared particularly and individually for him. And David was amazed at that. And you and I ought to be too. When you're going through your daily routine, you can be driving your vehicle, you can be at work doing what you're doing, and at that very minute you can be communicating and fellowshipping with the God of the universe. The God that created the heavens and the earth. The God that made everything that's there. The God that sustains everything by the word of His power. And yet that God takes time to talk to you or to me. That's an amazing truth. And when David wanted to express that, he couldn't help but put an exclamation point when he said that. Lord, what is man that thou takest knowledge of him, or the son of man that thou makest account of him? Notice back in Psalm 78, he says something else about this same thing. Psalm chapter 78. Psalm chapter 78 and verse number 40. Psalm 78, he's giving an account of Israel in their tragic wandering through the wilderness. And talking about the nature of God, he says in Psalm chapter 78 and verse number 40, how oft did they provoke him in the wilderness and grieve him in the desert? And there again is one of those rare exclamation points. When David thought about the wickedness of man, and the rebellion of man, and the trouble of man. And he said, how oft did they provoke him in the wilderness and grieve him in the desert? When David thought about man's condition, and yet God cared and God loved and God rescued and God sent a deliverer and God did all this stuff, David was just amazed at what he saw God do. So David talks about man's condition and his departure from God and how wonderful God is in spite of all those things. Look, if you would, at Psalm 133. Psalm 133. Now, by this time, you think we're looking at all 26 of them, don't you? Psalm 133, verse number 1. Here's one of those things that David chose to be excited about. Psalm 133 and verse 1. Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. That got David excited. Again, these are some verses in the book of Psalms that just point out David's heart. He said, how amiable are thy tabernacles, O Lord. And now he says, how good and how pleasant is it for brethren to dwell together in unity. David knew what it was like to have division in his home. David knew what it was like to have division in his kingdom. David knew what it was like to have division in the house of God. And David said, how blessed it is and how pleasant for brethren to dwell together in unity. Now, unity is not gathered for the dispense of truth. But it is a place where those that are united for truth. When we come together tonight, we're united in the truth of the Word of God. We're talking about how David said, how great his word is and how excellent his name is. Those are the things that unite us. And you can't dispense with some of those. The world wants to unite, but they want to gloss over the things that are different between people. Again, somebody comes and says, "Well, why don't we get all the churches together and do this or do that?" You just can't do that. You can't do things that way. Well, let's have this thing or that thing and travel to all the churches. Let's have a Christmas play and go to all the different churches and do it. Well, how do you go into this church that believes that by being baptized as a baby, you go to heaven? And then go into that church that believes that by being baptized as an adult, you go to heaven. Then go to that church that says it doesn't matter about your baptism, you've got to have your good works to go to heaven. And this one that says, well, you've got to have the gifts of the Spirit to go to heaven. And how do you travel from one to another? There can't be any unity. So somebody says, well, let's just ignore all those things. Well, how do you do that? How do you ignore the plan of salvation? How do you ignore the right way to get to heaven? How do you ignore the right Bible? You can't do that. But David says, when you've got that together, how good and how pleasant is it for brethren to dwell together in unity? That meant something to David. It's something that got a hold of his heart. And he used that exclamation point to show it. Look then, if you would, at Psalm 104. Psalm 104. Here's David using that exclamation point in verse 24. Psalm 104 and verse 24. O Lord, how manifold are thy works! In wisdom hast thou made them all. The earth is full of thy riches. How manifold are thy works! When David beheld the works of God's hands, he couldn't help but put that exclamation point at the end. Notice he talks in these verses, in verse number 19, he appointed the moon for seasons. The sun knoweth his going down. Verse 22, the sun ariseth. They gather themselves together. He talked all through this chapter when we studied Psalm 104. We saw the foundations of God and the furtherance of God's creation and the finishing of God's creation. And all of this chapter talks about what God did with his hand. And David summarizes by saying, how manifold are thy works. God's works are worth putting an exclamation point on. When we behold the works of his hands, the wonders, the stars, the moon, you know, the things that the evolutionist just doesn't get a clue on. How God put everything in order and still sustains it, and the four seasons still come to pass. We're going from summer into fall, and it happens every year at the same time. And it just goes like clockwork. And these are the things that God has instituted. And when David looked at these things, he said, how manifold are thy works. In talking about that, look at Psalm 92. Psalm 92 in verse number 5. David again considering those things. Said, O Lord, how great are thy works, and thy thoughts are very deep. How great are thy works? And there's that exclamation point. David meditated on the things of God, and those things of God got him excited, got him motivated, got him to express himself in such ways. How manifold are thy works? Look at chapter 66, Psalm 66. Verse number three. Psalm 66 and verse 3. Say unto God, how terrible art thou in thy works! Exclamation point. When David looked at the power of God in creation, when it says terrible, it doesn't mean it's bad. It just means it's terrorizing. To look at the power of God and what he can do by just his finger putting the stars into existence, by just the word of his mouth separating light from dark and all these things. How great God is. We mentioned a couple weeks ago or a month ago when that little earthquake hit through this area of Ohio. And I was sitting with a couple of the guys. We were sitting at Bob Evans at the restaurant when the earth moved under our feet. And it just felt like a little rolling. It felt like I was on a roller coaster. I actually thought I was getting sick. I thought, boy, is something going on? Am I having a heart attack? I never heard of anybody saying, well, right before the heart attack, I felt the earth move under my feet. I didn't think it happened that way. But I felt that move like that, and what an uneasy feeling it was. I can't imagine being in a full-fledged earthquake and not having control or balance or stability, you know, when things are moving like that. Just that little bit of a roll was enough. I don't ever want anything more than that. And to realize how powerful and how awesome God's power is. David said about that, how terrible art thou in thy works. Go look at those storms that go up the east coast. Look at how the winds blow and just blow everything out of the way and pick up vehicles and move buildings. And that's just nothing more than the power of God. It's not Mother Nature. That's the power of God. The tsunamis that hit and the earthquakes and all these things that happen all over the place are done by the power of God. And David, when he thought about that, those manifold works and God's creation and God's works, he said in verse number 3, how terrible art thou in thy works. And then look, if you would, lastly at Psalm 107. Psalm 107. Looking at some of the times in the book of Psalms, and some of those that we didn't look at, two or three of them, had to do with the nation of Israel, which to us really doesn't pertain to us, so we didn't look at that necessarily this evening. But look at Psalm 107. And here we find four times in this chapter an exclamation point. And four times it's right after the same thing. Look at verse number 8. David says this, oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. When David thought about all these things about God, his word and his power and his greatness and his name and his house, when David thought about all these different things, he says in verse 8, oh, that men would praise him for his wonderful work. When he thought about how bad and corrupt man is, and yet God is so good. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. It'd be enough if he said it once, but look at verse 15. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. Exclamation point. He wanted to make sure you got it. God is worthy of praise. God is worthy because of His goodness and His wonderful works. That's what we've been talking about. God's name is excellent. His works are great. And those things ought to excite us and motivate us. And it's a spiritual thermometer. When we look at these things of David, if the things that motivated him and excited him are not the things that excite us, then we have to recognize that David had a spiritual plane that we're not flying on. A spiritual level that we're not attaining. We need to get as excited about these things as David did. Verse 15. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and His wonderful works to the children of men. Verse 21. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. David's not stuttering. He's not just repeating the verse. He's not just saying, oh, that's good, I'll write it again. David can't get this off his pen and out of his mind. The men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. Verse 8, verse 15, verse 21, and verse 31. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. Go back to Psalm 119, if you would, in verse 97. Psalm 119 and verse 97. David said, oh, how I love thy law. There's our exclamation point. And notice the rest. It is my meditation all the day. What caused David to put that exclamation point on all those other topics or subjects or verses that we read about? It was because when he meditated on God's word all day, those are the things that thrilled his heart. Those are the things that excited him. Those are the things that he focused on. When in verse 97, when he meditated on God's law all day, he got excited about the things of God. If you and I would meditate on the things of God, meditate on the Word of God, get excited about the things of God, it would make such a difference in our day. The day would fly by. We'd get up in the morning and being focused on God and the things of God, the day would seem to go so much faster. Even the down things and the bad things of the day would seem to have some victory if we just focused on some of the things from the Word of God. And when David meditated on it, he thought about the name of God and the goodness of God and the Word of God and the works of God and the house of God. He was consumed with those things, and he expressed it with his excitement by putting that exclamation point. What are you going to put an exclamation point on tomorrow? In your day, from the more time you get up to the time you go in the evening, what is going to excite your heart? What is going to thrill your heart? What is going to be your devotion and your love? The Bible says that where your heart is, there will your treasure be also. David showed us his heart in Psalm 119 by using that exclamation point to show us the things that he got excited about. We need to get excited about the things of God. Let's stand together this evening with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Father, tonight I pray you would challenge us. God, challenge me to love your word more, to love your name more, to be amazed at your wonderful works to the children of men. Father, to consider how good you are to Ban and that you're mindful of him. And Father, as we've seen the heart of David tonight in these different things, I pray you would challenge us, Father, to focus on the things that David focused on. Father, we live in this life and in this world. So many things take our attention and demand our attention. And Father, we spend so little time focused on you. We pray you'd help us in our day to set aside time just to meditate on the Word of God, the things of God, and the preciousness of God. Excite us, challenge us, Father, motivate us to appreciate what you've done. Thank you for your Word that makes it so clear and shows it to us. And I pray, Father, you'd bless it to our hearts tonight. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Page 315 this evening in the songbook. As always, we'll sing a song of invitation. And if God's challenged your heart,